Now I too would give everybody a warm welcome to this gospel meeting this evening. Thank you each one for being here, and we trust that God would bless you. If you're not saved, that he would bless you with his salvation. I'd also like to just thank the believers of the assembly here for all the kindness that has been extended to us throughout this conference weekend. And we do appreciate all that has been done, and we trust that God would bless the assembly here as well. Now let's read, please, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and reading at verse number 3. So we're turning to Paul's epistle to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and reading at verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now turn over, please, to the next chapter, chapter 5, and reading at verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And into chapter 6 there, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now we trust that God would bless these verses of Scripture to each one, and the things that we've already been hearing this evening in the Gospel. I think in these verses that we've read from 2 Corinthians, we do get a good outline of the basic truths of the gospel message concerning the Lord Jesus and concerning God's grace. The wonderful tidings of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, spoken of there in chapter 5 in some of those verses that we read as the ministry or the word of reconciliation. And this was the message that the Apostle Paul preached back in the first century. He went into that very sinful place of Corinth and everywhere else that he went preaching the gospel. This was the message that he had to proclaim. A message of, as we've already been hearing this evening, of reconciliation. And the opportunity that is provided in this day of God's grace, this day of opportunity that still exists for men and women and for boys and girls to hear God's word, to hear the truth from the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, concerning the Lord Jesus and his saving work at the cross, and for men and women and for boys and girls to be saved by trusting in the Lord Jesus and to know what it is to be reconciled to God, to be made right with God, and to know that your sins are forgiven. We've been reminded this evening already of the three basic elements of the gospel message, and I think the things that I would be saying now would exactly fit into that pattern of these three aspects of the gospel. Concerning the ruinous condition of man, we want to see where sin leaves us as those that are separated from God by our sin. Man's ruin is clear as we think about some of these verses, but we've also got verses here that tell us of the provision of God's salvation and the remedy that God has provided for sinners in the sacrifice of His Son, and what the Lord Jesus did at the cross when He was made to be sin. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so because of that work of salvation that the Lord Jesus accomplished, in God's rich grace, there is that provision of salvation for each one in this meeting tonight. But also there's the need for every person to take that step of faith and to personally trust in the Lord Jesus and to personally receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And that's man's responsibility that we've been hearing about. Just as Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." If you're in this meeting tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that must be the prayer that you make to God tonight. The responsibility to obey the Word of God, to believe the Gospel, and to be saved, then it's a matter of urgency, as we've been hearing, because now is God's day of salvation. So what do these verses tell us about man's ruinous condition? We read there in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3, that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Just notice that word at the end there of that sentence, them that are lost. That's where you are, friend, in relation to God, if you're not saved. Those who are lost in their sins. What is that word telling us tonight? It's telling us of what a serious thing it is, and what a fearful thing it is, to still be in your sins, and not saved, and not to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're lost to God's salvation. You're losing out on the great blessings of God's salvation, the forgiveness of sins, having eternal life, knowing that you're going to be in heaven with God in a coming day. If you're not saved, and you go on in your sins as a lost sinner, you'll be eternally lost. You will be in hell. And you'll finally be in a place that the Bible describes as the lake of fire. And it's a place of judgment. It's where God will judge lost sinners. It's a place of eternal separation from God. So this is a very serious thing tonight, to understand that if you do not have God's salvation, you're a lost sinner. You're wandering in the darkness of unbelief. And how good it is for all in this meeting, whatever age you are, if you're a young child or an older person, how important it is to understand where you are in relation to God. And that because of your sin, you are a lost sinner. And to understand that this is not a position that you want to remain in. How good to know that there is a Savior for lost sinners. And that's the message of the Gospel that we want to make clear to you tonight, that the Lord Jesus is the one, God's Son, who came down from heaven, came down into this world, provided Himself as the Savior for lost sinners. You know, the Lord Jesus said of Himself in Luke chapter 19, spoke about Himself as the Son of Man, and He says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Lost sinners. The Lord Jesus, the Savior, He came to seek and to save lost sinners. There was a parable that the Lord Jesus spoke that's recorded in Luke chapter 15. It's a parable in three parts. It speaks about a lost sheep, it speaks about a lost coin, and it speaks about a lost son, the prodigal son, the son who ultimately returned to the father's house. Each part of that parable emphasizes this truth that sinners are lost. That those who have not trusted in the Lord Jesus are them that are lost. Just think for a moment in relation to the lost sheep. There were 100 sheep. One of them wandered away into the wilderness. Went into a place of extreme danger. And the shepherd would leave the 99 and would go after that lost sheep until he finds it. And what does he do? When he finds that lost sheep, he places it securely on his shoulders. And he brings it safely home. And he expresses his joy. He says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost." Dear friend, in the meeting tonight, we want you to understand that the Lord Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And this is what he wants to do for you tonight. If you've not trusted in him, he wants you to recognize that you are the lost sheep. You are the lost sinner. You are the one who is wandering in the wilderness of this world. And you're wandering away from God in your sin. And you're in a place of danger, extreme danger, perishing in your sins. Brother Mark has already quoted the verse from Isaiah 53, verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way." You'll notice in that verse that the first part of it, it speaks collectively of all of humanity. All we like sheep, we've gone astray. We've been reminded from Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there is the condition of lost, sinful humanity. All we like sheep have gone astray. But then the next part of that verse moves to the individual sinner. We have turned everyone, each one, to his own way. Each one individually. You see, that's the individual boy. That's the individual girl. That's the individual older person, even in this meeting tonight, still not saved. Still a lost sinner, still among them that are lost, turned each one to his own way. But the Lord Jesus is the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. He went all the way to Calvary's cross to provide himself as the sacrifice for sin. He was the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. What joy it would bring to the Savior tonight. What rejoicing there would be in heaven tonight. If you would come to the Lord Jesus as the lost sinner, as that lost sheep, and just rest securely on the Lord Jesus and the work that he finished upon the cross. He's the loving Savior who desires to place you securely upon his shoulders. He's the one who will never lose you. You'll never be lost if you're trusting in Christ. He will never lose you. He's the one who will bring you safely home to heaven to be with him for all eternity. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus is the one who can meet the need of the lost sinner. But the next verse that we read, in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 4, says, "In whom the God of this world," which speaks of the devil, "he's blinded the minds of them that believe not." So here's something else that emphasizes to us man's ruinous condition. Not only lost, but blind. And that's very serious. And that's very frightening. To be in darkness, for your mind to be blinded to the truth of the gospel and the truth of the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and the one that wants to keep you in that condition is the God of this world, the devil, the evil one. Dear friend, recognize that the devil is very real and he is very active and he is the enemy of your soul, and he knows what his end will be, because the Bible, the Word of God, tells us what the end will be for the devil. Revelation 20 tells us that the devil that deceived, he was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and would be tormented day and night forever. The devil knows that that is his end. But every moment he has until he is put into that place, he's spending it trying to oppose God and to oppose the Lord Jesus. And he is spending it trying to deceive as many souls of men and women and boys and girls, desiring to take as many souls with him down to that place of judgment, to a lost eternity. And he's the one who's moving in this world to blind the minds of men and women, and younger ones too. And he will occupy your thoughts with whatever he can, just as long as it is to the exclusion of the truth of the Lord Jesus and your need of the Lord Jesus as your Savior. What kind of things does he use? Well, he uses different things to veil the minds and blind the minds. He uses the veil of ignorance to blind people's minds. There are many people in this world, and they're taken up with a humanistic way of thinking, that man doesn't need God, and that man can somehow save himself and better himself, and that man has no need of God's salvation. That's the humanistic mind of man. The devil is very happy for men to think in that way. And there are many in this world that are kept in the darkness of heathen idolatry, religions that would reject the truth of the Lord Jesus, religions that do not acknowledge the Lord Jesus for who he is as the Son of God, the Savior that God sent. And even within the sphere of professing Christendom, many religious systems that do profess Christ to be the Savior, and yet many in those religious systems are kept in ignorance as to the vital truth of salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus and what he did upon the cross in his saving work. So there's a veil of ignorance that the devil uses to blind the minds of men. But then there's the veil of self-righteousness that the devil uses to blind men's minds. How many there are in this world, and they pride themselves in their own good works, in their religious activities, and they think that God will accept them into heaven at the end of their lives on the basis of what they can do and on the basis of their own works and their own religious activity. And the devil is happy to keep men and women blinded by these things. A works-based system. That you need to keep working to somehow merit ultimately salvation. And you need to keep working. And you never know if you're going to be saved, but you just have to keep working and doing the very best that you can. And rely on your own self-righteousness to be in heaven and to be saved. You know, the devil desires that men's minds be blinded to what the Bible says. The truth of the gospel in Ephesians chapter 2 is this, that by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Salvation is a gift that God is offering to men and women today, and to boys and girls. It's a gift that you need to receive, not a gift that you can work for. But God is offering salvation as a gift to you. And the verses in Ephesians 2 say this, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Because you know there's only one work that saves. And that was the work that we've been hearing about from John chapter 19. The Lord Jesus on the cross. The saving work that he accomplished there. And at the end of it, he said it is finished. And that is the only basis for man's salvation. It is the only work that saves. It is the only way in which you can have your sins forgiven. So these are different things that the devil uses to blind men's minds. But if you attend gospel meetings like this, if you've heard the gospel before, you will know that you need the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You will understand that you can't work for your own salvation, and that you need Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, his sacrifice, his death, his resurrection as the basis for your salvation. But I want you to think of another veil that the devil uses to blind men's minds. And it's simply the veil of indifference. And it's the veil of carelessness to the urgent need of your soul's salvation. And you need to be urgent about this, and you need to make this a priority tonight, God's salvation. You need to bow in obedience to the terms of God's salvation. The devil will be happy for you to go on attending gospel meetings even like this, in this place, Sunday after Sunday. The devil will be happy for you to come week after week, as long as you go on in indifference. And you don't come to the absolute urgent reality and the need to wake up to the urgency of your need of salvation. And so, my friend, you need to make getting right with God the most important priority in your life. You need to, the scripture says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And you need to make getting saved the most important matter of your life tonight. Don't go on in carelessness. Don't go on in indifference. The devil would be happy for you to do that. Happy for you to come back next Sunday. If the Lord has not come and there's another gospel meeting here, the devil will be perfectly happy with that. But you need to be saved tonight while God gives you that opportunity. You need to have the gospel shining into your heart. And we read something of that in those verses. The reason why the God of this world blinds the minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So you as a sinner, you need that illumination. You need that enlightenment. You need the light of the gospel to shine into your darkened heart. Verse number 6 says, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he is the God who shines into men's hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We heard the scripture tonight that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, here is the way in which the very knowledge of the glory of God can be brought into your heart. To let God work in salvation in your life. To submit to the truth of his word and your need of the Lord Jesus and the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face and in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will dispel the ignorance, it will dispel the darkness, and you will be illuminated spiritually to know God's salvation. You will be brought to know the Lord Jesus and the light that he can bring. He spoke of himself as the light of the world. He says, he that cometh to me, he that followeth me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So those verses in chapter 4 remind us a lot about man's ruinous condition. But in chapter 5, we read some verses that talk about this matter of reconciliation. And we've already had some explanation of what that means already this evening. To be reconciled to God. What does it mean? It means that as a sinner, you're at a distance from God. Your sin has separated you from God. And you need the forgiveness of sins so that you can be brought near to God, because God is holy. And God, He loves the sinner, but He hates your sin. And you can never be in God's heaven. You can never be in the presence of God in your sins. And you need to be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you see, the background to this matter of reconciliation is this, that you're at enmity and that you're alienated from God. Sin places you at a great distance. And that position of unbelievers needing reconciliation is made very clear in many scriptures in the Word of God. Let me just quote you one verse from Ephesians chapter 4. Talking about unbelievers, talking about those that have not been saved, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, that's what we've been talking about, lost sinners, minds blinded by the God of this world, in darkness to the truth of God's salvation. That's the condition of you as a sinner if you're not saved tonight. You're alienated. You're an enemy. You see, we read there in chapter 5, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, we use the word ambassador today and we think of somebody who's representing another country in a foreign land, looking after the citizens of that country. And likely in many cases, these are countries that are at peace with one another. But that's not the way that the word ambassador is used in relation to the Bible. When we read this word ambassador in the Bible sense, it's the thought of two countries that are not at peace. They're about to go to war with one another. The Lord Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 14 of a king who, desiring to avoid war with another king, what does he do? That other king has a larger army. He doesn't want to begin that war. And so while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, a group of ambassadors, and desireth conditions of peace. You see, that's the idea of an ambassador. And so as we think of sinners who need to be reconciled to God, and we think of God's servants as ambassadors for Christ, the reality is this, that as a sinner, you're not only lost, and you're not only blind and in darkness, but you're a rebel. You're in rebellion against God. You're at enmity to God. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath God reconciled. So you see the emphasis there, enemies, alienated, at a distance from God. And friend, if you're not saved, you're still part of a rebellious, wicked world. You still have that clenched fist of rebellion against God. And you need to be reconciled. You need to be brought near to God. And God has provided reconciliation. God does not need to be reconciled to man. Wherever we read about this truth of reconciliation, it is man that needs to be reconciled to God. I think our brother Mark mentioned that already tonight. But it is God who provides the means of reconciliation. And the means of reconciliation is what He has done in giving His Son. And so we read in some of these verses, we read about a new creation in Christ. And we read about all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. And in verse 19, it is God who is in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. It is God who has provided reconciliation, and he has provided it in the person of his Son. He can reconcile us to himself by Jesus Christ, verse 18 says. Verse 19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And so the Lord Jesus is the one who can bring about reconciliation. There's a man in the Old Testament, the man Job, and he recognized the condition of man separated from God. And he longed for somebody that he described as a dazed man. And the idea of that is like an umpire or a mediator, one who could bridge the gap between God and men. And Job says in Job chapter 9, neither is there any dazed man betwixt us, between man and God, who can lay his hand upon both, can lay his hand upon God and lay his hand upon man, and be the basis of reconciliation between a holy God and sinful man. Job longed for that one that he called a dazed man. My friend tonight, the one who is that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one mediator between God and men. He is the man Christ Jesus. But how did he provide this reconciliation? What is the righteous basis for reconciliation tonight? It's what the Lord Jesus did at the cross. Romans 5 verse 10 says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. That's the vital truth of the gospel tonight for you as a sinner. The truth of the death of Christ. The death of God's Son. The sin-atoning death that he accomplished on the cross. And so we read that verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. The sovereign provision of God for man's reconciliation. For he, God, has made him, his Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, the sinless Son of God, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, that speaks of the tremendous transaction that took place at the cross. What took place between God and his own beloved Son. A holy, a righteous God, he needed to deal with sin. And at the cross, God made his Son to be sin for us. God made his Son to be accountable for the sin of humanity. We can't begin to enter into the reality of what that meant. The sufferings of the Lord Jesus on the cross. But we want you to understand that what he was doing was paying the price for man's sin. He who knew no sin, he is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. You see, God's holiness demanded a sinless sacrifice. And the Lord Jesus, he knew no sin. He was sinless and pure and perfect. He alone could be that final sacrifice for sin. And there at the cross, God made his Son to be sin for us. Peter says, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree. And there in those hours when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, he endured, he exhausted God's wrath on account of sin. All the penalty, all the judgment for sin, it was borne by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the vital truth of the gospel. This is why you can be saved tonight. This is the basis for having your sins forgiven. What the Lord Jesus accomplished on the cross, what he endured, when he was that lamb, the Passover lamb, he was roast with fire. That's the language of Exodus 12. He was the one who was forsaken by his God. That's the language of Psalm 22. He was the one whose visage was marred more than any other. That's the language of Isaiah 52. He was the one whose soul was made an offering for sin. That's the language of Isaiah 53. All of these thoughts are bringing to us the same basic truth. The Lord Jesus, he was made to be sin for us. And God dealt with his Son as he must deal with sin. And the Lord Jesus paid that price. And so it's possible for God now to set aside his wrath and to reconcile to himself all those that trust in him and in his Son and all those who turn in repentance to God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as ambassadors for Christ, we beseech you tonight, be ye reconciled to God. You know, we speak with the authority of God and the authority of the Lord Jesus. That's what an ambassador does. An ambassador would desire to speak the words of the one that he represents. And what we would want to say to you tonight is just what Christ would say to you. If he was speaking directly to your heart tonight, the Lord Jesus would be saying this: I pray you, I beseech you, be reconciled to God. But it comes to you as a commandment. Be reconciled to God. Obey the gospel. Trust in the Lord Jesus tonight, and you will be saved. But don't put it off. Recognize the urgency of this, because we read that verse in chapter 6, verse 2. The apostle, he's quoting from the Old Testament, and he says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. God offers you now. God does not offer you tomorrow or next week. He offers you now. There's a number of reasons why there is that urgency of salvation, but one main reason is this, that the Lord Jesus is coming again. And he could come again at any moment. And when he comes, your opportunity to be saved will be gone. But you can be saved now. Even as you sit in your seat, recognize your need. You want to be saved. You understand you're a lost sinner. You're in the darkness of your sin. You're in rebellion against God. You need to be reconciled. You can take that step of faith now. You can receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You can trust in what he did on the cross, in being made sin for us. And you can have forgiveness of sins. Even now, don't put it off. Don't go on in rebellion against God. Be saved tonight. Be saved for time. Be saved for eternity. And you can be blessed with God's great salvation. We trust you will. Let us pray.